You are listening to episode 146 of the Mindful Productivity Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Steckler, and we have an amazing guest joining the show today to talk all about pivoting and how powerful it can be to give yourself permission to do so. Joining me today on the podcast is Kiera Osnauskas. This woman is incredible. She's going to walk you through so many helpful things that you can consider when it comes to pivoting or making a big change in your life, what to even consider and know if you're going through a pivot you might not be aware of. And she also walks us through her newest book that is now available and a behind the scenes walkthrough of the process to how she created it. There is so much good stuff in this episode. You are most likely going to want to take notes. Let's go ahead and jump into it. Welcome to the Mindful Productivity Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Steckler, and this is the place to be to live a more mindful and productive life. If you're ready to turn daily chaos into calm and start your days with intention, then get ready to join me as we dive deep into mindful living and personal productivity. It's time to connect with your true self so you can live the life you want to live. And it all starts now. Welcome back to the podcast. Before we jump into today's episode, allow me to give a formal and warm welcome to our guest. Kiera Osnauskas is a productivity coach, lifestyle design strategist, and founder of Miss Unconventional. She went from being rock bottom broke, unemployed, and lost to being a purpose-driven entrepreneur. The plethora of pivots that make up her journey can best be described as unconventional. Today, Kiera is walking in her purpose, teaching ambitious entrepreneurs how to take control of their time, set intentional goals, and pivot into their purpose. Her upcoming book, Permission to Pivot, Granted, an unapologetic guide to changing your goddamn mind and life, will empower women to confidently and boldly pivot in any area of their life. Kiera is known for geeking out over her vision boarding, travel, nonfiction books, planners, productivity, personal finances, and pasta. I am so excited to bring this interview to all of you. This is such a helpful and valuable episode, and you're going to love this woman to pieces. So let's go ahead and get into the good stuff. Kiera, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here and have everyone get to know more about you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Sarah, for having me. You know that I'm super excited about this as well. I've been looking forward to it.
Before we get started, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and the work that you do in the world?
Sure. So for those of you who love personality tests and astrology, I'm an INTJ, Enneagram 8 Leo. I'm a lover of pasta, vision boards, travel, and wine. I'm also an author, productivity coach, and lifestyle design strategist at Miss Unconventional. And basically, I teach entrepreneurs how to make profitable pivots and establish productive habits without having to sacrifice their self-care.
Yes. And it falls in line so much with mindful productivity. And I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today. Like, I have all these questions I want to ask you, and I'm really excited to get into all of that. But before we do, I feel like we're sharing a similar brain here. I also love that you're not only a productivity strategist, but you also help people with some lifestyle design stuff too around all of that, right? So, and that's something I think so many people can really get behind. So could you maybe take a minute to tell us, like, what exactly does it mean to design your life? And can you give us some examples of maybe how you've been doing this in recent years?
Sure, definitely. So what I mean by lifestyle design, or what I like to call lifestyle synergy, it's when your life is in perfect alignment with your personality, your passions, and your purpose. So basically, you design your best life when you know who you are, what you want, how you serve yourself, and how you'll serve others. And, you know, it's your unique footprint. So for me, you know, I've always marched to the beat of my own drum. I've always been doing things that I want to do when I want to do them, rarely seeking outside validation for these things. And it has allowed me to live a really unique lifestyle, you know, going from working on a cruise ship in Hawaii to, you know, teaching English in South Korea. in Afghanistan to studying for MBA in Zagreb, Croatia, and just traveling to over 30 countries, and also just, you know, even dropping everything to go full-time entrepreneur and start building this business. So like, that's what lifestyle design is all about, is when you're designing your life without regard to how others want you to live your life, you know, and you're living, you know, and you're staying true to, you know, who you are and what you want and how you want to serve others. And most importantly, how you want to serve yourself.
One thing I'm really hearing you say is it's also like defining your own success, like really getting clear on what do I want my success to look like, and really not falling into what is mainstream success and do I have to fall in line with that. And for anyone listening too, like, please go like do some research on Kiara, because I was listening to a bunch of your other podcast episodes that you were on, and like your whole life story is just amazing. So like, and everything that you've done. So I really feel like you are the person to go to for lifestyle design. But also within that, you talk about productivity. As someone that's really done the thing and created all these different lifestyles, all these different experiences, how do you notice your productivity shifting as your lifestyle shifts?
Ooh, that's a really great question. So it's all about like productivity. It doesn't really fit inside of a box. Yeah. And that's like, you know, your productivity in your routines, your schedule, things like that, it's going to be in alignment with what you're doing in that season that you're in, right? Like not everyone's productivity is going to look the same, because you're going to be doing different things. Like, you know, my productivity looks different now that I'm an entrepreneur versus when I was working for, you know, when I was working as a school teacher. And so I think that as long as when you're ready to pivot into this new chapter, new season, you design routines that are in alignment with what you're going to be doing, you'll never truly fall out of that productivity, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does make sense. I love what you said about it not being in a box. And then it really, it's something we take with us. Like we get to take our productivity strategy or whatever with us, and it gets to adapt to us. We don't have to necessarily adapt to getting things done in a very specific way. So that feels really expansive. And that perfectly segues actually into the next thing I wanted to talk to you about, and that is the power of pivoting. So being someone, who has lived in different countries and worked in a variety of careers, how would you define what it means to pivot in your life?
So the way that I define a pivot, even in my book, is, you know, I describe it as a shift, a reversal, or a change in direction, decision, or a goal that is due to one or more of the following. And I know you've read a post about this. So it's a drastic change in your circumstances, a drastic change in environment, an influx of new information that is in direct contradiction to the old information, and a drastic decline in your enthusiasm for a direction, a decision, or a goal, because the end result no longer aligns with the season that you're in. So I know there's a lot, so I'll unpack that a little bit. But for me, if I am going to change a direction in my life or change a goal that I once set, I want to understand the reasons why I'm doing that. So I'm going to ask myself the hard questions. Okay, why do you want to pivot into this direction? What's the end result? What are the pros and cons of staying in the same situation? What are the pros and cons of changing? And how will it benefit your overall vision for your life? You know, these types of things. And so for me, pivoting is a part of life. Each time you navigate through the different seasons of life, or you end one chapter, you go into another, you're going to be forced to make a pivot in one or more areas. And that's just the way of life. There's no reason to fight against that, because it's just a natural part of life. And so that's why I think it's so important, because some of us, we get so fearful of change. And we don't see it as like this fun adventure. We don't see it as this opportunity to do something different. We're thinking, oh no, but if I do this differently than what I said I was going to do, people are going to judge me, or they're going to say this. But they're not the one living your life. They're not the one paying your bills, and they're not in charge of your salvation. So you can pivot and you can do what is best for you without regard to their opinion.
One thing I really like too is that pivoting is not only like your choice, right? It's like what you're deciding, but it's also, am I in a pivot right now? Which I think is huge, because even with this past year, just the questions that you've asked and just the, even the bullet list that you mentioned, like, you know, a change in your circumstances or a change in your environment. Sometimes I think we can actually be like experiencing a pivot without noticing it. And then like all of a sudden we'll be like, well, oh my gosh, I don't know why my energy's so low, or I don't know why these same things that I've been doing to take care of myself aren't having the same kind of impact. And so we like get down on ourselves, or we think something's wrong with us, when really it's like, maybe you're experiencing a pivot.
Right. Sarah, you hit the nail on the head. That is exactly it. Because some pivots are extremely subtle and we don't even realize it until things are really not going well, or we're trying to keep up with the same things we were doing, like you said, and it's just not feeling the same. It's almost like, you know, my mastermind coach, Glow at Tanmo, she changes her morning routine every month or every quarter, because depending on what she's doing, depending on which, you know, goal she's pursuing, or, you know, what she's pivoted towards in that last 3 months, her morning routine may not fit what she's going to do in the next quarter. And so she analyzes different parts of her life based on the season that she's in, or based on the thing that she's doing. And so I think it's important for us to also just really analyze our lives in that way too, because, you know, so we can pick up on those subtle pivots.
That's huge. Because, and I also know that you, one of the things you also said well back, which I love, I want to like write this down on my wall, is pivoting is a process, not an event. And the first time I read that, whoa, yes. So like, how can shifting our mindset around the process of pivoting really change the way that we make changes in our lives?
I think the mindset has to be, so is, this brings me to something that Jay Shetty said at the Influencer Summit this year. And he said, if the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change, then you have to change, right? Because you have to change your mindset. Like, we're thinking, oh my God, I know that this doesn't feel right anymore. I know that I shouldn't be in this situation anymore, but I'm afraid, I'm scared. So we have to start asking ourselves though, will it hurt worse to stay where we're at than, you know, than to change? And sometimes people can't answer that question because, you know, they're fearful of the unknown. They're like, they don't really know if the grass is going to be greener. But if you know for sure that the grass underneath you is brown and dead, then you can just pivot and deal with the consequences or the pains of that pivot later on, because I can assure you that remaining the same won't give you a different result either.
Oh, I was just thinking about something very similar the other day. I love that so much. That's so funny. but like, if I think oftentimes we forget how much we can trust ourselves. We think, well, what if I make this change? Or what if I try something new? And what if I fail horribly? Or what if I don't land on my feet? And the thing is you've already done that though. Like, you've already had those experiences. You've already tried things and they haven't worked, or you've already experimented with things and they've turned out totally differently, even better maybe than you thought. And so it's just, I think, reminding ourselves all the time that it's not a matter of not knowing what's going to happen, and more so a matter of knowing that you can control how you respond in any given situation.
Right. And intuition plays a huge role in this. And I always say, and for those who are believers, I say like intuition is God's whisper. And normally the only times I have been wrong in my life is when I didn't listen to my intuition, or when I was being so loud that my intuition I couldn't hear it. I couldn't hear what God was trying to tell me. And so if you listen to that small voice in your head, that's telling you, that's trying to guide you, that's trying to help you navigate sort of, you know, whatever it is you're going through, chances are, if it's telling you something, if that gut feeling, if you're getting that gut feeling, listen to it, because 9 times out of 10, that's your compass. And that's what you need to use to tell you whether or not it's time to make a change.
I love the idea of a compass too. And I know we can feel that in our body. I know I feel that like when I'm in touch with my gut or my intuition. And as a side note too, I don't know if you've ever read the book Blink by Malcolm Gladwell, but he talks about, he has all these, I'm a nerd, so he has all these like case studies about experiences that people have had when they're like, oh, something's off. Like the first story is all about like these people that get this sculpture in Italy and they're like these museum curators and all of them are like, it's a fake. It's a fake. Well, how do you know? But they can't tell them why. There's not one defining factor, but over the course of a year, they find out it is in fact a fake. And really what it was, their gut, like they had all these subconscious thoughts and red flags that they weren't conscious of on a normal level because of their expertise, they like knew. And so I think sometimes we forget the power, that small voice within us, however you want to define it, however you want to look at it, is so powerful. It often knows way more than we're aware of. So I love, love, love that you touched on that. The other thing too, and I'm so excited. Every time we talk, I'm always asking you like, when's your book going to be ready? But I know you're working on a book called Permission to Pivot, Granted, An Unapologetic Guide to Changing Your Goddamn Mind and Life. Can you give us a little bit more insight into what's inside this book?
This book is all about it's basically, you know, they say, who's giving you permission? You are granting yourself permission to change your goddamn mind whenever the situation warrants it. Whenever you feel that a circumstance or a direction, a path, a goal is no longer serving your best interest, your highest self, then you can grant yourself permission to pivot. And it's, you know, in the beginning, I talk about like how we have been sort of conditioned to listen to those, to our elders, and listen to those who have more experience than us, and have them help us, you know, guide us through life and what we should do with our lives. But oftentimes we don't really know when to turn that on. And like we navigate these seasons. So I identify four seasons of life in the book. It's like the copycat season, the rebel season, the Q&A season, and then the teacher season. So that copycat season, like when we're young, we're adopting all of our parents' habits and beliefs and, you know, everything that we mimic, everything we see. And sometimes people stay in that season way longer than they should, right? And so, and then you get people who can't seem to crack out of it. They need the validation of their parents, their sisters, their brothers to do anything in life, to make any big decisions. And it's keeping them from really living out their true calling. It's keeping them sort of, they can't be themselves. They can't be authentic. And I really just touch on how we have to snap out of that and dive deep into self-awareness. First off, figuring out who we are, what our passions are, how we serve ourselves, how we serve other people, and then taking that and applying it to the different aspects of our life, the 10 areas of our life. And if it comes to a point where, you know, let's say you went to school for pharmacy because that's what your parents said they'd pay for. They said they would. they're not paying for your pipe dream of being a musical director or something like that. Maybe they don't, you know, they don't support that dream. And so you do it. But 2 years in, you're just like, this is not for me. I can't. And so you allow yourself to pivot and change your education, change your major, and do what you want. And you say, okay, mom and dad, I no longer need you to fund it. This is what I want to do. If you don't want to pay for it, that's completely fine. I'm going to do this anyway for me because this is what fills me up and this is how I want to serve myself.
I feel so seen and called out because if you would have talked to me 10 years ago, that's exactly what phase of life I was in. Like I remember writing papers in college, sending them to everyone that I had your email, you were getting a copy of my research paper. And I'd be like, is this okay? Do you like how I did this? And bless all these people for like reading all of this stuff and validating all of my stuff. But I think this also, listening to you talk about this, I think this also really applies to entrepreneurs in such a huge way. I see it all the time. I see it a lot too. I'll be talking to some of my mastermind biz friends and they'll be like, this person is totally copying literally every post I have. Oh, they're just in that phase, but you've named it because I think a lot of people and not out of a malicious intent, do that as an entrepreneur. You know, they'll copy things, or they'll see, oh, so-and-so calls themselves, you know, this kind of coach or this kind of person. Maybe if I put my title like that on Instagram, maybe I'll see six figures, or maybe I'll see success. And so it's really just that it's a lack of self-awareness, and it's a lack of confidence and experience. And I think that's why it shows up.
Because they think that if they put out their original ideas, that no one will value them, that no one will see them as a good idea. But since this other person has an idea that's similar to what they were going to put out, but just way better, like in their eyes, way better and validated by others because maybe it's gotten reviews or, you know, shares or whatever, then they just put that out because that's easier, right? But really what they're doing is they're just silencing themselves. They're literally shutting down their own voice. And they're also infringing on someone else's intellectual property, which is not right, you know, but also to the people, and I'm going to play both sides of the fence here, to the people who say, oh, this person's copying me. Well, truly, there are no new ideas. I mean, you read books, you go through courses, and you also learn from others. And then you package that and you put that into your own words as well. We all are all are out here learning from other people and then sharing what we learn. And so you have to be careful when you accuse people of copying as well. So there's two sides of the coin, and I always bring up both.
No, I'm so glad you're bringing this up because it's absolutely true. And I think too, also just as a side note, I think that's such an expansive mindset to have when we realize, oh, someone else has likely already had this idea or someone has already played around with it, but we can still give our spin on things. And so I think that's really important to remember. And so even like as you're deciding to write this book and you're going through this process of creating it, could you maybe give us a little behind the scenes insight into what it's been like? I know this is not your first book, by the way. What's the process been like writing this book and creating it?
Well, first, before I just want to back up just a tiny
bit to
touch on something, because it really speaks to the point that we just talked about. So when I came up with permission to pivot, I said it in the middle of a conversation that I was having with someone, and then it turned into something that I was talking to my friend who was at the time my assistant, and we were like, girl, we've pivoted so many times in our life, and we just started counting the pivots, you know? And then we decided to do an IG live. So anyway, like after the IG live, another one of my friends sends me a DM, and she's like, Kiara, I swear, like, I just thought about you and this, and like this topic, you need to write about it. And she was just like, basically confirming that there's more that needs to be said. It's IG live will not suffice. You have to go and you have to do something and write a book about this. So anyway, so I'm like, permission to pivot granted. You know, I look it up and someone already has like a podcast called Permission to Pivot, but they hadn't been active on it, or, you know, or the blog or whatever. But it just goes to show you, I didn't know if this girl even existed, never seen her stuff in my life. And the angle that she approached it was just completely different, obviously, than what I was talking about anyway. But it just goes to show you that even when you see that you're about to do something and you Google it and somebody else has it or somebody else has done something with it, you don't let that kill your dream. I could have been like, oh, nope, it's already been done. Nobody needs this. First off, no, it has not already been done. It hasn't been done like the way Kiara is going to do it. And somebody still needs this message, because if they hadn't, then I would have never got that DM. You know, and I just wanted to touch on that and bring that up, because this whole idea could have died if I had looked that up and decided that I'm not going to do that because I don't want it to look like I'm copying off of this girl. Meanwhile, I've never seen her a day in my life, never seen her work. I didn't even bother to listen to anything because I didn't want to be influenced by anything that she was saying. So I didn't want it to, you know how sometimes if you listen to something, you subconsciously start to adopt what that person's saying. So I decided not to even read a blog or listen to a podcast of hers and just go with my idea. And it's so vastly different. So I just wanted to touch on that before I even get into your actual
I think it's so interesting because I'll see a lot of entrepreneurs that like have a specific niche and then like they don't want to do anything with anyone else that talks about stuff, right? Like both you and I talk about productivity and there's so much more that you talk about and these different areas that you touch on that I never would have even considered. And so it would really be a disservice to me and my audience if we didn't have a conversation. And I think that's so important because I think people get so scared of reaching out to people in the same industry or talking, you know, like, oh no, I can't talk to this other person. But I have been talking more and more to more productivity people. And I'm so glad I did, right? Like it's endless. So yeah, I love this whole conversation.
We're better friends because you speak the same language, right? So
it's like, right.
So it's actually a good thing. And no one's going to talk about it the exact way you do unless they're actually copying, right? So,
right.
But yeah, so the behind the scenes, it's crazy. It does not have to take long to write a book, folks. It's really fascination. Okay. So even a productivity coach can struggle with procrastination. And really, it's not even like, you know, it's been like maybe 6 months or so. So most, I don't know what the standard is. It probably could have taken me 3 months to do this, because the last time I wrote a book, it took me 4 months. And I had a full-time job. This is actually my full-time job. So it shouldn't have taken me this long, but also I was experimenting. I called myself like a habitual experimenter this year because I was just trying new things, trying to figure out what my audience needed, like what they wanted to hear, like and what form they wanted to hear it in. And so all of that was part of the reason why it's taken me about 6 months to bring this book to fruition. But I say all this to say the process has been amazing because the person, my friend, who edited my first book is my editor and content analyst on this book. And it has been amazing to work with her because she is a friend of mine. So she understands my voice. And so as she's editing, the notes that she sends me, she's like, oh my God, I heard you say this. And I just laughed out loud so hard because she can hear my voice. And that's what we're trying to do with this book is make sure that it's a conversation, that it feels like just girl talk, you know, woman to woman. And so it's been great. And then also just sort of navigating the ins and outs of the business side of publishing a book too. Because that, you know, if you want to publish a book just to publish a book and mark it off of your bucket list, like I did my first book, then you don't really have to worry about it. But I'm trying to put together beta reader team, launch team, you know, trying to get the formatting right, trying to make sure I get an audio book out there at some point. Like it's, you know, and how am I going to market it once it comes out? Like it's a lot. It's a lot.
I am so glad that you're sharing all these very real things. And I also love that you touched on the container of time for things, right? It's, I can't remember the name of the law, but it's basically where we'll take up as much time as we give ourselves, right? So if you have
80-20 principle, right?
Right. Like, so yeah. And I really relate to this too, because when I wrote 100 Life Challenges, which is, it's like more of a guided journal. So it's not nearly as text heavy as like a book. But I remember thinking when I was talking with my publisher, oh, I'll take like a year or more to write this. And they were like, well, we need it in 3 months. And I was like, what? But then what I found, you break it down, right? Like you break any big thing down into chunks and you do it and you create a practice around it. Do you have time every day when you're writing or?
In the beginning too, because when I found myself doing it, so we outlined the book. Right. And once we outlined the book and fleshed out what the actual topics were going to be, like, I wish I could show you the like a picture of what my sort of mind map looked like. I did it with index cards. So I mapped it out in a sense that I put what the chapters were going to be. And then I started thinking, OK, what are my frameworks? So the pivot protocol, the seven pains of pivoting, like things like that, the frameworks I knew I wanted to include in the book, I then started sectioning them off. Okay, where is this going to go in which section? And then I started creating the headings for those, right? And then once I had all of the headings for all of my frameworks, then I started to look at, okay, where am I going to put like real life examples? And because that's research, right? So I had to do some research and I had to have my editor do research. And so I'm like, okay, where are these stories want to go? Where do they fit? So I started putting that there. And mind you, I didn't have any of this all like written out or fleshed out. It was just about the order first. And so then I knew, okay, part one introduction, I knew exactly the flow. And what I did, I found a very old YouTube video from Brendon Burchard, and he mapped out his entire book, nonfiction book outline process. And it was so helpful because I literally took my index cards and I mapped out my book process just like his, the same like sort of introduction flow, the same like chapter heading flow, like all of it. And it helped me to group things so that when I went to go and write inside, I would pick a part to write in and I would fill out that and I would flesh that out and then have my editor come in. And yes, I did something very taboo. I had my editor edit as I wrote, but that's just because that's my style. That's what I like to do. I don't get bogged down by the negative feedback. I don't get crazy when there's red lines and things like that. I keep it moving and then I go back and I look at it later. Some people, they say not to edit as you go because people do get discouraged, but me, I don't care. Drag me all day so that I can fix it later. You know, I got thick skin. So that's been like my process. I just outline, break it down into processes, get all my frameworks out there, get all the examples, and then go in and put in the meat.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for sharing all this. I feel like this is so helpful. Well, and also too, like, I mean, for content creators out there, for people that are writing blog posts or creating curriculum for a course, this same strategy could be so helpful. And I love the index card thing too, because I know for me, sometimes I'll start writing on a page. It's not enough space. So I really like the idea of being able to use index cards and just like go wild with the room I'm in. So thank you so much for sharing behind the scenes. I know at the time that this podcast is going to come out, your book is going to be available and everyone should go check it out. But I'm really right now, like past Sarah is so excited to read this book. So I can't wait
to get a copy to you. It'll be signed, sealed and delivered.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait. I'm so excited. Yeah. I know I'm going to get so much out of it. One thing I wanted to, we're pivoting a little. One thing I wanted to ask you was, do you find that there are, for people that are maybe, okay, this pivoting thing is really cool. I've definitely noticed this in my own life, but maybe they're still kind of new to developing some of their own inner self-awareness. Are there signs that maybe we can tap into from ourselves or our environment that can help us really know that it's time to pivot?
Oh, that's such a great question, because yes, you will always have signs that things are not going well, right? Like that gut feeling, that overwhelm, that dissatisfaction, that not being able to completely be yourself or express yourself. You know, there's so many different things that you can tap into. But one of the things that I start off with in the book is the self-awareness component, because it's so underrated. It's not talked about enough, but when you understand your past, your passions, your purpose, the people around you, all of these things play a role in deciding whether or not you need to pivot. I can explain this better by giving an example. You know, there's a time, and there was plenty of times in my life when I felt lost, I felt depressed. And there was even one point in my life when I felt suicidal. Obviously, those are clear like signs, and it's not going to be that drastic for everyone, but those are clear signs that something isn't right. But I can marinate in that misery, or I can dive deep and figure out where the heck it's coming from. For me, it was definitely once I, you know, took some, and I had to do some introspection. But for me, I realized that sadness, that depression, that lack of fulfillment was coming from not knowing what I was supposed to do career-wise. Because I had just spent the last 4 years getting a degree in international relations and thinking that I was going to be a US diplomat. And that did not happen. And I was no longer going to do that for multiple reasons, which is beyond the scope of this interview. But I say all that to say, I spent all that time doing that. And I'm like, okay, I'm not doing that anymore. What the heck am I supposed to be doing? And because, you know, financially I was unstable and not, doing the proper things, like it was weighing on me because I'm like, not only do I need to find out what I need to do with my career, but I need to find it quickly so I can start making money so that I don't, you know, dive deeper into debt. And so I had to start asking myself the hard questions. Okay, I'm like, you know what? What do you need right now? What do you need to do right now and to make, you know, make a difference? And I took that first step. I started applying to jobs. Most people, like, I know, Sarah, this sounds like really basic. Most people, they don't even take the first step, which is just putting themselves out there, applying, doing something different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To bring in some options. And so I started looking at my options, and then I'm like, okay, well, I have no money. So how can I find a job where they'll at least pay for my housing, my food, and all that? And like, I know that sounds crazy, but that's literally how my mind was thinking. I'm like, well, what jobs do that? Well, if you work on a cruise ship, if you become an au pair or a nanny, if you, like, you know, teach English abroad, sometimes they have. So I started looking at all of these different things that I could do that would relieve that financial burden. And that started the journey of, like, to my first career, which was, and I wouldn't call this a career, it was more of a job for sure, just working on the cruise ship. And then that led me to teaching English in South Korea, because they also provide you, they pay for everything, right? They provide you with your accommodation, you get free lunch. You know, when you first get there, they give you a stipend to get set up. So I was going for that. I just wanted to meet my basic needs. It just going back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, yes. Like figure out what you're going to eat and what's going to, the roof that's going to go over your head first. And you can figure the rest out after the fact. Right. So that's where I had to start. But that was how I figured out that a pivot was necessary. It was so uncomfortable and it was so miserable. And I was so unfulfilled.
I love that you touched on something so huge that I think we all need a reminder of, and that is take the first step. Take the first step, right? If you want to find a new job, but you're not looking at other jobs, then how are you ever going to get out of it, right? If you're in a relationship that you don't like and you're never thinking about, you know, what a better one could look like or any of these things, right? Then you're not taking the first step. And I think sometimes we get so, I mean, this is not new, but we get so comfortable in our misery because it becomes so normal. Like we know it, that we forget our confidence, we forget our inner self-efficacy, and we don't do those basic things. And I think what did I read earlier today? It's not fearing other people's, you should never fear other people's idea because creativity is endless. What really makes the difference between people is, you know, initiative and actually taking action on what you want.
Weird action. I was scared. Okay. They were about to repossess my car, and they did. They repossessed my car. Like, you know, so right after I went to the mass interview that landed me the job, literally a day after that, my car got repossessed. So had I not taken that action prior to, you know, and just done what I had to do to get myself out of that funk, then I would have been stuck, right? Because prior to that, I was in the house eating all the things, binge watching Dexter on Netflix. And then I snapped out of it because I couldn't marinate in my misery anymore. I just couldn't do it.
And wow, how quickly that it changed too. I think that's what we forget is like how quickly things can change. We take one step. Oh my gosh. How has pivoting changed your confidence for how you view the world?
Wow. So, you know, the way that I define confidence, I believe that confidence is rooted in the promises we keep to ourselves, right? And that's not mine. That's just what I've learned over, like, reading and then in my personal experiences. That's the truth. Our confidence really resides in the promises we keep to ourselves. So for me, if I'm making a promise to always remain true to myself and be authentic in the way that I live my life, and, you know, I approach a situation or a goal that no longer aligns with that, then I keep my promise. I pivot, because remember, the whole thing, the whole goal of life was to make sure I'm in alignment with my personality, my passions, and my purpose. Anytime I fall out of that, if I don't, you know, if I don't fix that, then that is not keeping that promise, that core promise I made to myself. So anytime that I'm staying true to that, no matter how scary it is, it builds my confidence up. For me, when I decided to pivot into full-time entrepreneurship and coaching And it gave me a newfound level of confidence, because I'm like, man, I felt like I was walking in my purpose, and I was validated by the people I was serving. So even though I preach, you know, not to seek outside the validation is a great, great thing sometimes. Yeah. Because when you're showing up for the people that, you know, you've been called to serve, and they're telling you, oh my God, you've changed my life. You just said this and it changed the way I saw everything. When somebody tells you that, you realize, like, had you not granted yourself permission to pivot, you would not have been able to see the look on that person's face when their whole life changed. And I always say, the longer we wait to be who God has called us to be, the longer good people will suffer. I don't know how long that girl would have suffered had I not been showing up and doing what I was supposed to do. And she invested in herself through one of my services and figured it out. And I wanted to make sure that I was showing up. And when I did, and I got that validation, that was the biggest confidence booster anybody could ever give me. Don't tell me I'm pretty. Tell me that I'm serving the people I've been called to serve. And that's what makes me feel confident in myself.
There's no better feeling than knowing you're serving your audience, changing people's lives. I totally resonate with that so much. So Kiara, where can people find you online, and how are people going to be able to get their hands on your newest book?
You can find me. I'm most active in terms of social media. I'm most active on Instagram, which you know. So that's @MissUnconventional_. I do have a cheat sheet for your audience, for your listeners, and they can get that at pivotcheatsheet.com. And during the time that this airs, my book will already be out. That will be permissiontopivotgranted.com.
Perfect. And we will have all of those links in the show notes as well for this episode. Kiara, thank you so much for being here. I can't wait to go back and re-listen to this episode and take notes, because there's so many valuable things that you shared that I definitely want to journal on and more. So I know listeners are going to be feeling the same way. So thank you so much for your time today, and I cannot wait to read your book.
Of course, anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Mindful Productivity Podcast. Make sure you're heading on over to mindfulproductivityblog.com, where you'll find more resources on how to live a mindfully productive life and create a productive business that truly gives you time freedom. Until then, I cannot wait to see you back here next Monday on the podcast. Have a great week ahead.